Because here we are, we're live today. And it's just fun. So here we go. It's the news, according to me. Well, here we are. It is It's Thursday, August 29th. 9:06 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. My listenership is up. I don't know. I don't understand what that's going on. Why is that? I have almost twice as many listeners as normal for the last 2 days. I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe it's the chai. Maybe it's the peach slices I put in my tea. I don't know. It could be part of it. This morning I have some, well, just regular. I got the chai going on. I got my puppy now. He's just showing up to scratch the floor for a while for you. He just shows up on cue. I can sit down here for an hour. Doesn't come down until the show starts. And all of a sudden he wants to start his little routine, scratching on the floor. I have some vanilla chai with almond joy creamer, of course. My backup cup this morning is sweet tea, homemade sweet. I made some homemade sweet tea yesterday at home. I'm in the home studio, by the way, this morning. I'm not in the worldwide headquarters. Yesterday, the show was from the worldwide headquarters. It was kind of a late in the day show. So this morning we have this. I have this sweet tea here that I made yesterday, which basically made it for the trip because I'm going to be going on a sailing trip, sailing to Chicago, doing Bike the Drive on Sunday, sailing there tomorrow, actually sailing to Chicago tomorrow. Spend a couple days there and then Bike the Drive on Sunday, which is where they close down Lakeshore Drive for a few hours in the morning on Sunday morning, and you bike up and down. It's 15 miles each way. It's to raise money for the park department there, like they need more money because they get plenty of taxes. So they do that, and then Monday we'll take off, head back to home, our home port, and then I supposedly start working on Tuesday. We'll see how that works. So anyway, I'll see how things go here today. It's going to be a fairly short show. However, we are live, which is a little different than normal. I'm also doing a backup recording of this whole thing because I don't trust this thing. We have homemade sweet tea, but the twist with the homemade sweet tea this morning is that I have a little bit of apple cider in it. Apparently not enough because it doesn't have a real strong apple cider. It's kind of a little weak on the apple cider taste. I think it was kind of watered down. There was quite a bit of ice in my cup, and I think some of that had melted with the apple cider in there. It's a little bit watered down. So anyway, but it is good. Nonetheless, it's still refreshing. It kind of gives you that sweet tea taste with a little bit of a tart kind of a. It's kind of a sweet and sour thing. It's kind of that. Remember the sweet tarts? Back when you were a kid, get these little things called sweet tarts. They were sweet, but they were tart. It kind of made your mouth pucker. But they were sweet. Could just stop with one hit. I'll try another one. I gotta try that. Well, that one's got more of a cherry flavor. Yeah, that was what we did. Made your face kind of make some funny faces. Just keep eating them till your teeth fall out. So we have interesting things going on. We have Facebook. That's this whole thing about Facebook. Now, what is going on here? It seems like Zuckerberg is in front of Congress about every other week. I don't understand what's going on with that. And of course, one of the things I get tired of with this whole congressional hearing crap is that they never do anything about it. Nothing ever changes.
We're having congressional hearings. All right, call you. I'm going to subpoena you.
And of course, the only thing that happens is if you don't answer the subpoena, they throw you in jail. But they have this hearing, the congressional hearings, and then they don't do anything. I mean, why not just show up and say, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't want to call, Senator." You get a free trip to Washington. Well, I guess it's free. I don't know. I would assume if you tell them I can't afford to come there, I can't afford the travel expenses. I assume they pay for all that. They subpoena you to be there to show up someplace. They better provide you transportation. I don't like the if they can just subpoena somebody and make them pay on their own to get there. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. That should be. I think as a taxpayer, the government should be paying for that. At least you know, providing you some kind of transportation funds. Whether you want to, you know, fly your own personal jet in there or not, that's up to you, but it's to give you something. At least reimburse you for an airline ticket. So we have or you know, ground transportation. How are they gonna get you there? The loss of work and all that other stuff. Compensation. There needs to be something there. Just to show up and say, I do not recall. And I can't answer that because it's part of an ongoing investigation. It's a part of an internal matter. I can't answer that. How do you think they would like it if they called me in, if Congress called me in? I don't even work for Congress. I don't work for the government. I'm not a government employee. I don't get a government paycheck. If I showed up being called in front of Congress and all I had to say is, well, I can't answer those questions because it's part of an internal part of an internal matter with HR. We can't answer that question. As part of an ongoing investigation, I can't answer those questions. I can't answer anything that reveals any sources and methods in how I do my books, how I live my life. What do you think their response would be to that? We're holding you in contempt. You're going to jail. Christopher Wray, an employee of the government, doesn't have to answer to the people at all. The representatives who ask these questions are representing the people that they work for. Their employer. And they don't do a thing. They don't have to answer to anything. It's so funny the way my one cat, I have one cat that's just intrigued with my dog, loves to be close to the dog, loves to get all cuddly with the dog. Dog is not sure what to do with it because the other cat gets close and just has nothing but claws and fangs and wants to play in a very rough manner. This cat is just as sweet as pie. It's nothing but to cuddle. So it's just the dog is confused. They look very different, right? The two cats. I assume he knows the difference between the two. So, good morning. It's a live show. I'm always a little more, I guess I tend to be a little bit more self-conscious, I guess, on a live show because, you know, people can just listen to me live. The recorded show is a little bit different because the dynamic is different. I could actually just stop the recording and not post it if I happen to do a bad show. Do one live. It's live. It's there. It's out there, baby. Speaking of live, one of the things that's kind of disgusting to me is that finally Kamala has decided to sit down and have an interview, I think, with somebody on CNN. She's going to sit down and have this interview, and she's going to have Matt. Of course, going to have Tim Walz there with her, which, in my opinion, just shows weakness. In my opinion, it's just what happens there. So she's got this going on. So I'm not sure exactly when that's going to be. Not that it really matters. They're not going to ask her any tough questions anyway. She's going to say, "How evil do you think Donald Trump is? What do you think? What do you think will happen if Donald Trump takes over the?" If Donald Trump wins, are you worried about Donald Trump winning? Because, you know, he's gonna be an insurrectionist. And he's gonna take over. He'll never leave office, and he'll always be there forever. And he's gonna this MAGA crowd thing, 2025, and he just, you know, suckers and losers and crying people on both sides. That's it. And of course they'll just go on with that. Just, yeah, he's evil. He's an evil man. You have to vote for me because he's evil. Okay, well, what about your policies? Oh, no, he's evil. He's evil because he's evil. She was recently asked a question about something about the economics, and she goes off on this thing about racism, and it was actually a coherent answer. Problem was, it had nothing to do with the question. And it was Okay, it was an answer. Everything she said, I think I would agree with. But at the same time, it was what did that have to do with anything? What are you talking about? You're not hearing any of these people on the left, or the right, for that matter, which is aggravating for me. I'll get back to this whole thing. This interview, with air quotes, that she's going to have, sit-down interview, it's going to be recorded. Now, if I watch this thing, I guarantee you my skull will depart from my brain. I have the problem I have with it is going to be whenever I watch something that has jump cuts, that has all the, I can catch edits real quick. And even audio edits, you can be really good at audio edits. And I can tell many times because I do audio editing all day long. I have tens of thousands of hours, probably, of maybe not that much, but I have thousands of hours. I don't know if I've been alive tens of, I probably should do the math on that. I'm not sure if I've even been alive tens of thousands of hours. Let's say, how many hours are there in a year? Let's see, 24 times 365. There are 8,760 hours in a year. And, it's possible. So far, I've been alive about 543,120 hours. So far, about a half a million hours I've been alive. A little over a half million. Probably closer to 600,000 now. It's a lot of hours. An hour is kind of like, your life is kind of like a bank account. It's got so many hours, so many minutes, so many seconds, so many moments in your life. And as you start to get up there, you start to realize I've spent close to 600,000 hours of my life now. What have I accomplished? You start looking back on those kinds of things. You're like, have I really made an impact on the world that I, you know, the impact that I wanted to make? There's always that, you know, when you're younger, you think you don't realize how big the world is and how little you are and how small your influence on it could be. However, I don't think we realize how big our influence is on the world. If you ever watched, It's a Wonderful Life. The effect that one person can have, their choices can make in the world around them. Every day we're faced with choices, decisions we need to make. And sometimes those choices might seem rather benign and innocuous. But they might have an impact on the people around us. Someone might just observe you in a restaurant, making a choice to do something, somebody's napkin falls off their table and you reach down to pick it up and hand it back to them, or whatever possibly could happen for them. Someone might see that and it might change their life. It might change their world. It might be just the very thing that seasoned what they were, where they were going with life. Some plant and others water. We don't know. We have no idea how, with the influence that we have. I think that we will someday, it'll be revealed to us how interconnected we were with the world around us and how our choices influence that. Or even without us knowing. You know, my prayer is always, may I not so much in the things I say have an impact. Just you know, hopefully that God's presence and the character he's put in me somehow has an effect on people around me. I may not be Billy Graham. I may not be the best street witness preacher guy in the world. It's not for everybody. I've done it. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. But at the same time, there's so much more life living experience out there where you're interacting with everybody on a daily basis that I would hope that my life speaks louder than my words. Sometimes. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So, getting back to this whole thing. So they're recording this interview, which means that they can do whatever they want to with it. If she says something stupid, they can cut that out. They can, you know, they can do all kinds of cuts. They can, and they do this with Republicans and people, conservatives all the time. They'll have them talking and they'll edit the question, edit the answer. They jumped from one thing to the next. They put a response in, or they put a cut of, you know, while the other person's asking the question, they might have, you know, a video of the other person on the screen, and they might be totally unrelated to what that person was saying during that time. So it is very, very, very deceptive in the way they do those kinds of things. So with it being recorded the way it is, this is the same thing they do with Joe Biden. And of course, they're just hiding things. And they think that this is, if you ever saw Wag the Dog, there's a movie called Wag the Dog. And it was, this is what we're doing here. We think that the media, this is when the media thinks that they are so important. And they do have an effect, don't get me wrong. They've got a tremendous effect on public opinion and public awareness and influence. But they use that to manipulate people, and they know they're doing this. And sometimes they think, well, if we just say it, we can make it so. If we say it, if we repeat it long enough, if you ever read the book Rules for Radicals, this is in there. You repeat a lie many, you know, enough times, and it becomes the truth. Just keep saying it. Donald Trump lies. Donald Trump lies. Donald Trump lies. Right now they're saying all kinds of things about the chart. This chart that Donald Trump says he loves so much because it saved his life. When he looked over at the chart, that's at the moment that the bullet went past his head and shot into through his ear. If it wouldn't be for that, if him looking over to that chart, he would have been hit in the cerebellum. And that would have killed him. And there would have been much rejoicing on the left. I think that the idea that the left is, oh, well, that was just some crazy, wacky person, and it doesn't matter. That was just some, that wasn't, you know, the government didn't do that. No, he didn't actually get shot. He got hit with a piece of glass. Glass that was ricocheted from a bullet, nonetheless, but it was a bullet. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was glass, but my point is what are you trying to say? He still got injured. He got wounded, shrapnel or not. He got shot at several times. Wounded from the whole thing. If it was your child, you'd have a whole different perspective on that whole thing. Even if it was just a piece of shrapnel, you'd be hysterical about, my son was almost killed. My daughter was almost killed. Oh, Donald Trump, it was just a piece of glass. Don't worry. It wasn't a big deal. Yeah, so we got shot at. It was no big deal. And they talk about his lies all the time. And of course, now the latest one is, it just blows my mind what they've done over the weekend with this. I think it was yesterday on MSNBC, I believe. They got these two guys on there and they're talking very seriously. How? The altercation at the tomb of the soldiers that were the memorial of the 12, I think it was 12 or 13. I can't remember it's a little bit sketchy. I can't remember exactly how many are actually at the grave site of the soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan. Trump showed up to place a wreath. This was a formal thing that they were going to do. And Trump, they were all invited. Obama, Clinton, Trump, Biden. Even Kamala Harris could have shown up to place the wreath. Donald Trump was the only one who showed up. And they have a problem with this. Is nothing sanctified? Is there nothing sacred anymore? How disgusting that this was, that he did this as a photo opportunity. Your folks could have shown up at the same time. You could have come together and said, let's just mourn together what happened. Let's just at least, you know, put our little petty stuff aside for a second and place a wreath. Thank them for their service because they gave all. These are soldiers under your command, obeying orders. And on behalf of a grateful nation, you should have shown up on our behalf to thank them for their service, to respect them for their service. Now look at your watch. And then the news media has the audacity to spin this into something that's, oh, this is just disgusting that he went and did that. Now, it's disgusting that he's the only one who went and did that. So, Facebook. Let's talk about this Facebook thing a little bit. Zuckerberg has all of a sudden come out. And everybody said, oh, I think he's coming up. I think he's warming up to Trump. No, he's not warming up to Trump. This is either he's scared. Let's look at some possibilities here. Let's just examine the possibilities. Is it possible that he is upset with the Democrats right now? And he put $400 million, actually a little more than that. He actually invested about $500 million. In the last election in 2020, and largely due to his influence and his efforts, is why the Democrats won. Now, I think he knows more behind the scenes of what's gone on here than what he's alluding to. He's kind of coming clean, so to speak, on some things, saying, "Oh, they tried to influence him." Even Biden Harris had tried to influence him on the on some issues with the Hunter Biden laptop and some other things, but he. It's in the CIA and everything else. It was under their administration. So he's coming clean on some of those things. I think that he's somewhat upset with the leftists and the Democrats right now. I think he's upset with the way he realizes that he's supposedly, when he said this, thing about when he was being interviewed, he said something about, you know, I thought when Donald Trump got up and said fight, fight, fight after he got shot, I thought that was one of the, you know, the biggest, you know, the BA things I've ever seen. Maybe he's just a freak of nature. But when I heard him say that, I didn't think he was being sincere. It seemed to me that he was... Yeah, he kind of sang it, but he's not really, it's not coming from his gut. He sang it because he realized in that time that this was a big turning point. And he wants to look like somebody who can join in with that kind of middle America fight back kind of thing. Of course, now if you notice this or not, the Democrats, their big saying now is, if we fight, we win. What are you fighting? What do you mean by fight? Just fight in general? Fight? What are you fighting? Because you're in office right now. You should be making amends for, you know, saying, okay, we've done these things and this is what's happened. We're going to make some corrections here. We're going to get this thing straightened out before the election, before the end of the year. We're going to make these corrections. And this is what you're going to see. We're going to see some things happen. We're going to close the border. We're going to do, all I've heard from everybody on the left for 3 years is the border is secure. We have a secure border. The border's secure. The border's secure. And they can't fight the statistics on this. Of course, now when the stats come out, one of the other things they were going after Trump on was this chart that he's looking at. Well, look at this chart. What he's saying is, you know, the lowest he left office with the lowest incursions, but really it was 3 months earlier that had the lowest incursions. But they don't want to look at everything after the election, after the inauguration. So after he left office, the chart after that. They want to ignore that. They're picking on is he made the statement when he left office they were at the lowest point. Well, it was 3 months earlier that was actually the lowest point. You know, gee, what happens between November, December, and January? 3 months. What happens before that 3 months? All of a sudden they realized, guess who's coming to office and guess who's telling them they have to surge the border? By the way, why do you think that there were so many people heading for the border at that point? Because they realized Joe Biden was going to be in office and they're going to get a lot of free stuff. So they started jumping over the border. My dog is going for a walk now. He doesn't want to go. He wants to stay here with me. He's afraid of the cat. He's back in the corner. Yeah, she's trying to get him to go. It's there you go. Okay, there he goes. He doesn't want to leave me. He knows he wants to be part of the show here. So this whole thing that they're picking on, they're trying to say he's lying about all this stuff. Of course, they make themselves out to be more and more foolish. I think is it Chris? What's the guy's name? There's a guy he was an ex, I believe, Navy SEAL. He was Special Forces. And I'm pretty sure, if I could find it here, let's see if I can find it real quick. It is, I hear this might be good. We have Chris. He did an interview with Trump. Little lesser known, but he's actually I can't find him here. Where did he go? I thought it was just on here a little bit ago. J.D. Vance. Yeah, it's got to be here somewhere. I don't see it now. What is the guy's name? Come on. I don't see it. Yeah, by the way, this whole thing with Facebook, I don't care what Zuckerberg says, as long as he's still censoring people. The Facebook thing is still censoring people dramatically. I mean, we're talking huge. And, of course, Joe Biden's still at the beach again. I'm looking at all these headlines. It just rattles me up more and more. I'll think of the guy's name soon. But he did an interview he's doing several different podcasts right now. And he's even dipping into more of the lesser known folks. Which I find fascinating because he's going to make these people, and they're, of course, left is grasping at straws to demonize Donald Trump. After it's just more and more, you know, everything that they're trying to do is just more and more. Nobody's believing this Zuckerberg thing. And I don't understand. Now, so that's one possibility. One possibility is he's just trying to build his brand, realizing he's lost 50% of the nation. I'm sure that revenue is down. He doesn't want to have to invest another $500 million to get Harris into office. And they turn around and kind of they didn't treat him well, by the way. Once they got into office, then you come back to this other side of the thing, and there's this issue of, is he concerned, is he scared that what the left is saying is true? This, all this baloney about Donald Trump's going to persecute his and prosecute his political enemies. He's going to come after them. He's going to kill them. He's going to imprison them and have them executed. People like Rachel Maddow, and they're going to die. He's going to come after you. He's going to kill you. Really? And you get people who are making these stupid statements. Hillary Clinton was on the other day talking about how he's going to weaponize, even if it's just one person, it's one too many. He's going to weaponize the judicial system. He's going to come after somebody. He's going to come after people. Even one person is one too many, especially if it's her. It's one too many. Hello, do you see what you're doing? Well, this was done in a court of law. This was all done according to he broke the law. You broke the law. Comey came out and admitted that you broke the law. But no reasonable prosecutor would go after for this. I guarantee if I did it, they would go after me. They won't go after the Clintons. There's no reasonable prosecutor that knows they might end up Epsteining themselves. By the way, where's the list of Epstein's clients? By the way, Seth Rich, remember him from 2016? Got brutally murdered, executed. Nothing was taken from him. About a block and a half from his apartment in D.C. I think he was part of the Democrat Party, and of course he was a big Bernie supporter. Got murdered. It was most likely, and I don't want to, you know, no disrespect to his family. I don't, they don't, they're claiming that this wasn't the case, but I don't think that they understand. They just, people are, yeah. It's very clear due to forensic science. Apparently the FBI can't do. They have to hire somebody else to do it. Well, they can't. They didn't have access to this. The DNC would not give access to the servers. They wouldn't grant access to the servers to the FBI. So the DNC hired an outside source called CrowdStrike. And before this, CrowdStrike was nothing. They were a very small company. They have increased exponentially since then. You hear about them all over the place. CrowdStrike, was one of the people who were right in the middle of the whole thing with the site, with the Microsoft bug that caused the crash here a few weeks ago. Computer crash all over the place. So we have this possibility of Donald Trump going after all of his enemies, and is Zuckerberg afraid of that? Just lost my train of thought there on some other subject. I was talking about something else. I kind of got distracted by something. Pause and take a sip. So much that the media is doing right now has been... Just plain gaslighting is all it is. It's just telling you one thing. You know, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe your lying ears. What you're hearing, what you're seeing is not true. It's cheap fakes, cheap fakes. Whatever happened to that? Is anybody going to call? Is Ducey the only one that can call Karine Jean-Pierre out on any of this stuff? She stands up there and says all this stuff about Joe Biden. He's cogent. He's all this stuff. He's always wonderful, Mr. Wonderful. He's the best version of blah, blah, blah. He's with it. He's sharp. He has a debate. He's obviously stammering all over the place. It's pathetic. It's terrible. I couldn't even watch 30 seconds of it. And all of a sudden, he's being asked to leave. Not by the American people. He's being asked to leave by his people in his party. All of a sudden, there's this big meetings. We got to put Kamala in there. So they do this, and he's all ticked off. You know, one minute he's, I'm all in, I'm going to do it. Next minute he's, I guess I'm out, I'm passing on the torch. What the heck just happened here? Now, do I think he's a competent president? No. Do I think Kamala Harris is a competent individual? No, I do not. She's at least coherent, but she's incredibly inept. And I don't know how this happens. And then the news media just all of a sudden is on board with everything. Everything's wonderful. She's just the most wonderful person on the planet. I don't know. It's amazing to me how we get here from there. Now, is Zuckerberg on board? Well, I think two things. One is revenue's down at Facebook. He sees that he can, you know, read the handwriting on the wall. His investment in the 2020 election wasn't what he thought it would be. It's all about money with him. Now, he also is friends with, or friendly with Shapiro. Not Josh Shapiro, the Daily Wire guy. I can't even think of his name anymore. Thank goodness I don't listen to him enough. I can't even hardly stand to listen to the guy anymore. His opinions are almost always wrong. He's a very good debater because he can talk very fast and he's very sharp and he's very smart. Problem is he's convincing. But sometimes people who have a high IQ and are able to, they are so strong in character of trying to win a debate. One of the things about being a good debater, you'll learn this. Whether you agree with your position or not, you need to know how to argue your position. So in other words, you can switch over and argue the other side's position, and you almost have to be able to do that to understand how best to debate that position. So in other words, when you're practicing, you might argue the other side's points, and you get very good at that. But on the side that you agree with, on the side that you're trying to argue on, you can convince yourself of things. You become your own useful idiot. In other words, you repeat your own lie enough that you believe it. You can base some things. One of the things that just blows my mind is when Josh Shapiro, it wasn't Josh, it's not Josh Shapiro. What's the guy's name? Let's see if we can find it. Daily Wire. What's the guy's name? Yeah, let's just look at this. It's got to be on here. My internet's going a little slow because I'm doing all this live stuff right now. Yeah, it's not even moving. Interestingly enough. Oh, here we go. Ben Shapiro. Yeah. He has all these interviews. These situations. One of the things that he did, he was asked the question about who he thinks Jesus is. Why was Jesus killed? Who killed Jesus and why was he killed? And he says, I think he was killed because he was leading a rebellion against the Romans. The Romans killed him because he was leading a rebellion against the Romans. At that point, I have to say, Ben, have you even read the New Testament? And apparently, if he did, if he's read it, he doesn't believe it. Now, what is happening here is a lot of times the teachers, the rabbis, the instructors with their opinions, they become kind of the authority on what Scripture says, and they give their heavy-weighted opinions. And of course, if you leave the faith, it's not an open thing here. If you leave the faith, surprisingly, Christianity is one of the few faith. And this is in some families are different than others. Christianity is one of the few faiths that if you leave or you choose a different way or you have a different belief, you're not necessarily ostracized. Now there is a shunning. There is this point where Paul says, "Don't have no communion with that person. Have no communication with them anymore. Cut them off from your congregation or whatever." This is that's kind of a last resort and kind of a difficult position, and it's very specific in terms of what this where you're at with that person. But you cut them off so that there's reasons for doing it. It's actually for their good, now they're like the Amish still do this shunning thing. If you join the church and you leave the church, you will be shunned. Now your children won't be shunned, and your everybody else in your family won't be shunned, unless they've joined the church. There's this thing called Rumspringa, which is a time between making your decision when you become of age to make your decision to, to join the church or not. And you're kind of free on your own. You can leave the house. You're old enough to leave the house. You haven't joined the church. And this thing called Rumspringa. Rumspringa. Kind of like Grumbedemusch. They are allowed to do whatever. They kind of live this wild, so they're wild oats, so to speak. Some families are different than others, but this is, for the most part, they are not a believer yet, not in the church yet. They go out and sow their wild oats, and then they become a part of the church. If they join the church, now everything changes. Now you're a part of the community. You will comply with the koinonia, which is it basically is a form of communal living that you volunteer for. However, if you don't, the family can shun you. The family can cut you off, not have any communication with you. Now, if you join the church and then you leave the church, now it's even a bigger deal. Now the whole church has a shunning. That person is officially shunned. Now, I don't know if I'm sure that some of the bishops still do this, the deacons. But I don't know if some of the church leaders probably still do this. But it's not done as much as it used to be. But it's still a part of their tradition. The Democrats are kind of this way. You're Mr. Wonderful, like Trump was, until he became a Republican. Tulsi Gabbard was, of course, as soon as she went against the status quo and left the Democrat Party, all of a sudden she's a Russian asset, according to Hillary Clinton. Everything goes back to Russia with her, which is kind of interesting because she actually paid someone to go to Russia to get... She's more in bed with the Russians than anybody else around. I think part of her deal with them is that she can use them as an excuse. She can go after, the Russians and say all this stuff about them without having to be accountable to them. They understand because they're like, okay, she's doing her bidding. We're just going to keep it going here. Got some comments here in the live chat. Yes, Iran is becoming a player. This is I haven't talked much about Iran. Now, remember, I know that not Iran is a very complicated political mess, which is well, maybe you can explain some things from Iran then, if you can. I've got several friends. They prefer to call themselves Persians. I don't know if it's – do you prefer to call yourself a Persian? There's just a very complicated political system there, and you've got different factions, and it makes it very – if you realize that – if you realize that Valerie Jarrett, Barack Obama's hand in the puppet, basically, she is the one who runs Barack Obama. She's Iranian. And you have to wonder why so many millions and billions of dollars were given to Iran right after Barack Obama took office. And why to this day there is so much back and forth. Yeah, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is respected there. The but you have the there's the military powers. You have the religious powers, and then you have the kind of the there's some different factions among the people there. Now, I haven't studied Iran that much. I just know people from there that I've got some close friends that are from there. And so there's a lot of opposition among some of the groups there. So there's, you know, some people want a particular type of government. Others, you know, they want to be, it's not necessarily a bad thing to have an adversarial opposition in the parties there, in the groups. However, it becomes more complicated to navigate when you're trying to do diplomatic interactions with them. Because one group might be willing to do something and have an agreement on something, and then there's another group there that just isn't, that's not where they're at, and they're not going to go along, they're not going to play nice. So it's a very, like I said, complicated thing. And of course, then you have all the issues with the surrounding Middle Eastern countries and the relationships they have with them. And of course, there was the Iran-Iraq war, which was, in my opinion, a hideous war. So much damage on both sides that we're still paying the price for in terms of personal relationships, people, the PTSD that went on there, the things that the damage that it did to people's families. Believe it or not, Iran at one time, this was back in early 1950s. Iran was actually a serious, staunch, I would say, associate, or if not even an ally to Israel. And that has completely changed. Mostly because of kind of some of the, I would say, religious radicals caused that change to happen. But this is not a history lesson on Iran. I'm sure there's probably some people out there that could. Explain things a lot better than I can. Like I said, I'd like to have my friend who lives here close to me. I'd love to have him on the show and just talk about history stuff like this for just do it for a week. Because he's so rich on. I wouldn't say he's an expert on anything, but he's just got a really good general oversight of so much of this stuff, to the point of being an expert in terms of just general understanding, putting the big picture together. I'd say he's an expert on the big picture and in the history of things, why we are here, how we got here, basically. Now, having said all that, I realize I'm almost out of time here, folks. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank everybody for putting up with me this week. Tomorrow morning, there probably will not be a show. It's possible I might have a show tomorrow. If I do, it's going to be from the boat in Chicago. I kind of doubt that I'm going to have a show. Actually, I take that back. It'll be from the boat, but it'll be in my home port tomorrow because I'll be leaving from my home port. However, because I'll be getting ready to take off and go sailing, and there's a whole lot of things to get ready for today and tomorrow, very good possibility that the show will not happen. If it happens, it's going to happen on my laptop. Probably not going to be a full-blown show. It might be 15 minutes or so. Not going to be a whole lot of other things. And thank you for listening, folks. And thank you for commenting in the live chat this morning. I greatly appreciate that. It's whether you're, you know, agree with everything I say or not, or whether I appreciate the input. It's really, I have to say, listenership is up. We've probably got, it's over twice as many people right now over the last. Now, this is going to increase because it's the political season. This is kind of more of a political show. So, of course, people are going to tune in more. People are have their ears to the ground on this stuff. So I am sure that as time progresses, we will have more and more listeners here in this political season as we approach November. This happened at the midterms. It happened somewhat in 2024 or 2020. Obviously, there was huge, a lot more interaction with the show, just only because it was the whole election season was pretty up and down. And then, of course, we had the issue of COVID was going on, and then the election itself. And I think there was so much turmoil. And there's just because, obviously, there were some issues with the election. There was just, yeah, we'll get into that right now. But you can't convince me otherwise that there wasn't anything there. So anyway, appreciate the comments. Appreciate your listening, sharing, subscribing, whatever you're going to do. And once again, we'll try to, hopefully Monday morning, might have a show. God bless. Have a great weekend. Take care.